Shri Shukru Pacham. Shri Shukadev Goswami said, in this way, Vrinchastuta Karmas Viryaha. The personality of Godhead, whose activities and prowess are always praised by Lord Brahma. Pradurbhabhuva became manifested. Amritabhu, whose appearance is always deathless. Adityam, from the womb of Aditi. Chaturbhujaha, having four arms. Shankatagadabja Chakraha, decorated with conch shell, club, lotus, and disc. Vashangavasaha, dressed in yellow garments. Nalina Ayata Ikshanaha, having blooming eyes like the petals of lotus. Translation, Shukadev Goswami said, after Lord Brahma had thus spoken, glorifying the Supreme Lord's activities and prowess, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who was never subject to death like an ordinary living being, appeared from the womb of Aditi. His four hands were decorated with conch shell, club, lotus, and disc. He was dressed in yellow garments, and his eyes appeared just like the petals of a blooming lotus. So you can repeat. Shukadev Goswami said, after Lord Brahma had thus spoken, glorifying the Supreme Lord's activities and prowess, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who was never subject to death like an ordinary living being, appeared from the womb of Aditi. His four hands were decorated with a conch shell, club, lotus, and disc. He was dressed in yellow garments, and his eyes appeared like the petals of a blooming lotus. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The word Amrita Bahu is significant in this verse. The Lord sometimes appears like an ordinary child taking birth, but this does not mean that he is subject to birth, death, or old age. One must be very intelligent to understand the appearance and activities of the Supreme Lord in his incarnations. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita in the 4th chapter, text 9. Janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tatvataha. One should try to understand that the Lord's appearance and disappearance and his activities are all divyam or transcendental. The Lord has nothing to do with material activities. One who understands the appearance, disappearance, and activities of the Lord is immediately liberated after giving up his body. He never again has to accept a material body, but is transferred to the spiritual world, chaktva deham, punar janma naiti mam eti sojana. Okay, so Shri Shukruvacha, Itam Vidincha Stuta Karma Virya, Padura Babu Vam Ritabura Ditcham, Tatubaja Shanka Gadhavya Chakra, Vishangavasa Nalinaya Tekshanaha. So Omagana Timidanda Shah, Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshur Meditam, Yena Tasmai Shigurveda Maha. So today we are celebrating the glorious appearance of Lord Vamanadeva. So we're going to tell the story about Lord Vamanadeva's appearance. And of course, Lord Vamanadeva is one of the Dasha avatars, the 10 main avatars mentioned by Srila Jayadeva Goswami, Keshava Drita, Vamana Rupa, and Jaya Jagadisha Hari. And of course, we understand that There's one Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he assumes various forms. We've discussed this many, many times before, quoting from the Brahma Samhita, Advaita Achyuta Nadyam Ananta Rupam Adyam Purana Purusham Lavayovanam Cha Vedeshu Durlabham Durlabham Atmavakto Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. That Krishna is one, but he appears in a variety, actually unlimited forms, Ananta Rupam. Ananta means end, Ananta means without an end. Just like we have Vedanta, the word Vedanta means the end of knowledge or the conclusion of knowledge. So when you have Ananta, it means no end. Okay. So he has unlimited forms, just like the waves of the ocean. But he's the same person, appearing in a variety of forms. So the story is as follows with Lord Vamanadeva. Very, very interesting. It begins with the story of Prahlad Maharaj. Mm. Of course, Prahlad Maharaj was the great pure devotee of the Lord who was saved by Lord Nrsingadev. And after Lord Nrsingadev saved him, Prahlad Maharaj got the benediction. He didn't ask for it. But anyway, Lord Nrsingadev gave him the benediction that all of your descendants are blessed by me. Therefore, I'm not going to kill any of them. That's pretty good. So Prahlad Maharaj was very happy with that. And then Prahlad Maharaj, after that point, he got married. And he had a son. His name was Virochan. And Virochan, Prahlad Maharaj's son, had another son. His name was Bali. So Bali, actually, the word means very, very strong. You understand? Like we have Bala Ram. So the Bali is like that. Balaram, of course, means spiritual strength, material strength, all types of strength, and enjoyment. So Bali means very strong personality. And, of course, he appeared in the Asura family, the family of demons. So Bali Maharaj, being a loyal demon, because your family comes first, you actually see this in India. I mean, it's very much stress on the family. I mean, not only the nuclear family, but your whole family. And it's just like, it's very much, you do business with your family. Anyway. So Bali Maharaj, being a loyal demon, he did what demons are supposed to do. What are demons supposed to do? Attack the demigods. That's their job. So Bali Maharaj was fighting with the demigods. And at that particular juncture, Bali Maharaj lost. And not only did he lose, he got killed by the demigods. And that's a real problem when you get killed. Of course, he didn't get killed by Vishnu, because there was that guarantee, but he got killed by the demigods. Now, if you have the right guru, and your guru knows Mrityu Sanjivani, then you don't have to worry about getting killed. Because your guru could bring you back to life. Because that's something wonderful. You're thinking, oh, I wish I had a guru like that. But actually, the miracle that Prabhupada did with us is actually more impressive. You know, he actually turned hippies to happies, as Prabhupada said. Of course, not many hippies running around now. In the 1960s, people didn't like to be called hippies. Anyway. So he turned the dull bell metal-like consciousness of the materialists to the gold consciousness of Krishna consciousness. So that's even a greater miracle. So anyway, so Bali Maharaj's spiritual master was named Shukracharya. Shukracharya, there's many meanings, but the literal meaning is Professor White. You understand? And the indirect meaning is the acharya or the teacher who's interested in family or seminal successions. Generally, in Krishna consciousness, we're not so much interested in family successions, except for Krishna's family, of course. We're interested in the spiritual succession. But we find throughout the history of Vaishnavism that there's people who propagate the misunderstanding that different successions, even from acharyas or what they have, even the Nityananda Vamsa, they're actually more spiritual than, you know, people who are just born in other places or other successions. I mean, just like in India, like if you go into a temple, they'll always ask you, what is your gotra? You know, what's your succession? You know, what is your family line? And so Prabhupada instructed us to say, Achyuta Gotra, we're coming in the family of Krishna, because it's a spiritual line, the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. But anyway, so Shukracharya, who was mostly interested in his family, it's interesting. Anyway, so Shukracharya, he brought Bali Maharaj back to life with his Mrityu Sanjeevani. And of course, when your guru does that for you, you're indebted to him. Great guru. So he brought Bali Maharaj back to life, and there was a yajna performed by Shukracharya after that particular point, in which Bali Maharaj was given many more like ingredients for fighting, you know, the weapons for fighting, horses and chariots. They all came out of the yajna. So that's a good guru too. You know, not only can he bring you back to life, but he can give you weapons to fight with. So Bali at that time became very enthusiastic because he knew he had been blessed by his spiritual master. Of course, another understanding we can get from this pastime is that if one gets the blessings of the spiritual master, one becomes successful both materially and spiritually. And we find in many cases, in the stories in the Bhagavatam, when people lose the blessings of the spiritual master, they actually lose even their material position. Such as when Indra actually offended Brihaspati by not giving him proper respect. In this case, Indra did not offend Brihaspati, but the demons actually had more dedication for their guru than the demigods had for their guru. So Bali attacked the demigods. Indra went to Brihaspati, and he asked Brihaspati, what can we do? Brihaspati said, nothing. You better leave and become invisible. Why should you leave and become invisible? Because, you know, otherwise it'll be dangerous for you. Because they're more powerful. They're so powerful that there's no way you can defeat them. So Indra left. The heavenly planets became bereft of the demigods at that point. And the demons, they just took over everything. It's crazy. I mean, the demons were walking around and the heavenly planets enjoying life, having a good old time, enjoying the apsaras, you know, or even urvasis. You had to serve the demons at that time rather than the demigods. So what happened is when there's a problem with the demigods, they just have to rely on their mother. So mother comes to the rescue. Mother knows best, isn't it? Actually, the position of mother is very exalted in this world. It's almost like pure love the mother has for the child. So the mother of the demigods is named Aditi. So she became really upset. You know, her son's house was taken away. She didn't see her sons in heaven. And so she just got really, you know, she was crying. She was morose. She was depressed. All sorts of psychological issues were going on in her consciousness. So when the mother is upset, she goes to the father. And her husband, of course, is Kashyapa. And she waited. She had to wait, because Kashyapa was performing some austerities that time, meditation. So she went to Kashyapa, and she said, my dear Kashyapa, our kids have been kicked out of heaven. She was crying like that. And, of course, Kashyapa, being very soft-hearted, said to her, you got to be detached. You know, first he preached to her like that. You know, obviously, you can't really preach to someone who's emotional like that. He didn't know. He was a Brahmin. His wife was also Brahminical, but, you know, when someone gets emotional, you just don't preach to them. You have to be empathic with them, you know. You can't just say, anyway, what you can do, you can't preach directly sometimes. You can chastise them. Like Arjuna, he became emotional. And Krishna said, you're a fool, just to knock some sense back into him. But he didn't start preaching right then, except, you know, like the real heavy stuff, you know, chastising. While speaking learned words, you know, while speaking, you know, foolish words, you're acting like a fool here. And anyway, so that was enough to shock Arjuna. Hey, Krishna's calling me a jerk here. So, Kashyapa, he preached to Aditi. He said, you know, please, you got to be detached. You know, these things happen. This is a material world. Just roll with the punches, lady. I mean, baby, whatever he called her. Dear. Just roll with the punches. And she said, well, guess what? It's my sons. You may not be as attached to them as me. Just like it's stated about Mother Yashoda, she has much more love for Krishna than Nanda Maharaj. It's interesting, isn't it? Because Nanda Maharaj's love is unlimited, but Mother Yashoda's love is billion times unlimited. So Aditi, she just wouldn't accept that argument, and she said, all right, give me some means by which my sons can actually retake the heavenly planet. So he gave her this process called Payavrata. Payavrata means to exist, to take a vow, to exist by drinking milk. Payavrata. And other austerities. So she executed these austerities. And then what happened, after she executed the austerities, Lord Vishnu appeared before her with four arms. And said to her, you should worship your husband. Because within, your husband, within the, I guess, the semen, I am there. You know, I've taken shelter within the seminal fluid of Kashyapa. And so the plenary portion of Krishna, who is within Kashyapa, was transferred to the womb of Aditi. And when Aditi became pregnant at that particular juncture, Lord Brahma and the other demigods prayed to the Lord within the womb of Aditi. They actually went to Aditi and they were praying like that, just like we see in Lord Chaitanya's appearance or in Krishna's appearance. The demigods appeared and they actually prayed. In Krishna's appearance, they actually didn't manifest themselves. And, in Krishna, and also in Lord Chaitanya's appearance, they didn't manifest themselves. So sometimes in their houses, they heard these noises, and they didn't know what it was, but it was the demigods praying. So then Lord Vishnu was born, and on this particular day, which is called the Shravana Dwadashi, that's called the Vijay. Vijay means victory. So anyone who's born on this day will be victorious. Then, after Lord Vishnu was born, he changed into this little dwarf form. This cute little dwarf form. And when the demigods give birth, I mean, it's not that they have to wait till the kid grows up, you know, through the diaper stage and everything like that. You know, in the Earth planet, we got to wait and wait and wait. As we were mentioning the other day, you're thinking, when is he ever going to grow up? Sometimes the parents think like that. Of course, sometimes they think, I hope he never grows up, depending on their particular situation, you know, because they understand when they grow up, they're going to be even more problems. Because then they get to be teenagers, and they hang with the other teenagers, and God knows what they're going to do at that particular juncture. So, he grew up immediately, or didn't grow up because he was a dwarf, but at least got older. And he was given a sacred thread by Brihaspati, and the demigods offered him all sorts of things. And he took his mission. His mission was to actually interfere with the sacrifice that Bali Maharaj was performing. So in order to do that, he had to impress the brahmanas and impress Bali Maharaj when he walked into the sacrifice. And the methodology he undertook to impress everybody was to turn up the lumens. I don't know if you know what lumens are. Lumen means the brightness. He turned up the brightness on his transcendental body. Because his body is always bright because of the Brahman effulgence. Mm. Just like if you have I have a projector, it does like, what is it, 2,500 lumens. So this was like 10 quadrillion lumens. And it was so bright, you know, it was lighting up the whole universe. So Lord Vamana exhibited the Brahman effulgence, and when all the participants of the sacrifice, including Bali Maharaj, saw this, they became so impressed that they sort of like put the sacrifice on, they suspended the sacrifices for some time, washed the feet of Bali Maharaj, washed the feet of Vamanadeva, sorry, and offered him a seat. And they asked him, what do you want? Because that's a standard procedure when a Brahmin visits your home. What would you like? What is your wish? And of course, if someone's actually a Brahmin, they're not going to ask for that much. They're not going to say, you know, give me your money, give me your wife, give me your computer. A Brahmana comes and he accepts charity. Yajan, yajan. Patan, patan. Dana pratigraha. These are the means that a Brahmin can maintain himself. He gives charity, accepts charity. He performs sacrifice. He participates and learns about sacrifice. And also he... Yajan, yajan, patan, patan. He instructs in the Vedic literatures, and he gets instruction in the Vedic literatures. So that's a Brahmin. So Bali Maharaj said this to Lord Vamana, and Lord Vamana said, actually, all I want is 3 paces of land. And Bali Maharaj was shocked with this. He said, look, you got great ancestors. You know, what a family you come in. Vamana glorified Bali's ancestors. I got it reversed. And he said, you come in a great family, Bali. Look, your Aranyakashipu is in your family. Palad Maharaj is in your family. Virochan's in your family. Hiranyaksha's in your family. What a family you got. Very great, heroic people. He didn't mention the downside of the family. He didn't say, you know, they're a bunch of, like, worthless demons. He just said, you know, they're great heroes and things like that. It's like someone saying, you come in Hitler's family or Mussolini's family or Stalin's family. I mean, huh? It's the same thing. So Lord Vamana, he was just employing a little bit of political strategy there. So Vamana said, I just want 3 steps of land. And Bali Maharaj replied, this is not so intelligent. You know, I'm in charge of the whole universe. I got the heavenly planets. I can give you anything. Anything you want, other than pure devotional service. I can give you anything you want. And Lord Vamana replied that if a person is not satisfied with 3 steps of land, then he won't be satisfied with anything. So the purport of that particular statement is that if we're not satisfied with what keeps our body and soul together, if we think we need more, and if we try to attain more, that's not going to give us satisfaction. In fact, Bhagavad Gita teaches us, avratam genam ganaitena ganinam chavayana kama rupena kontiya dushparena analena cha, that it is like putting gasoline into a fire to try to extinguish the fire. The fire becomes further inflamed when we acquire more and more and more. But we think, just like in America, I mean, people have much too much, much more than they actually need. I mean, if you travel around the world, as I travel around the world, I see that the comparative sizes of the houses in America, that is compared to the houses everywhere else in the world, and I'm talking about even Europe and other, like, first world countries, it's just like, it's almost like 10 to 1 or 5 to 1. You know, the sizes of the houses is humongous, and how much Americans spend to heat their houses because it's so big, or the size, even the size of the car, the amount of gasoline consumed by each car, compared to the gasoline consumed by the cars in Europe. I mean, just, it's amazing. I mean, much bigger. And of course, the people are much bigger in America, too. And I'm not talking that they're saying that they're taller. They're horizontally bigger. As you travel around the world, you actually see this. It's just amazing. So anyway, so are the Americans any happier? No, they're actually so agitated. And even, I mean, it's very interesting. I mean, just talking about Barack Obama's health care plan, and we'll put a little politics in here. So, They're agitated and manipulated by their senses. And anyway, talking about Barack Obama's health care plan. So he has his health care plan, which is, I don't know if I should talk about politics. No, it's not politics, just give you my opinion. Which is a pretty good idea, because it will give universal health care to everybody, you know, health care to everybody. And, you know, there'll be a government option, you know, that's his proposal. So what happens is the Americans, not all of you, some of you, the people in America are just like so agitated because of their sense gratification. So the insurance companies who are opposed to this, because they're going to lose money, obviously, on this whole thing, and many doctors will lose money too, they're making propaganda that Barack Obama wants, or the healthcare plan will take away your freedom of choice, and they're going to decide when you'll die and all these other things like that. I don't know if any of you are keeping up with the news, but there'll be these death panels who will, like, if you have a runny nose, you know, they're going to discuss whether we should let Mother Krishna Priya die or live. You know, so they depict these ogres sitting around a table. Huh? Should Krishna Priya live? Or not? Nah. Death. Anyway, so then the people go to these town hall meetings and they're so agitated, our sense gratification, our choice, it will be interfering. But they don't really look at the statistics. I was just actually looking at the statistics about the death that there's a death rate for women when they give birth. And in America, it's something like 4,800, I mean, roughly. One in every 4,800. In Europe, it's one in every 45,000. I mean, they don't look at like, huh, where they do have universal health care. Anyway, that's my political statement for today about universal health care. So, but the people get so agitated in America because they have so much and they want much more, and anything interferes. I mean, their church is the Walmart, isn't it? We worship here. In Walmart, we trust. Isn't it? And they're ignoring, like, so much of the world. I was just reading in National Geographic about in Somalia, how it's, oh my God, how the people are living. Anyway, enough political statements for today. So Balimar said that you're not intelligent only asking for 3 steps of land, and Vamana said this is most intelligent because you guys are trying to take over the whole universe. You're not any happier than me having the whole universe, and I only want 3 steps of land. And Bali Maharaj said, but I can give you a good wife. And Vamana said, what am I going to do with a wife? Anyways, ain't going to make me happy. It's more burden. That's the problem. You know, the more you get, the more burden you have. You have a bigger house, you have to pay the electric bills, you got to pay the mortgage, you got to pay the taxes. I'm just speaking, you have a wife, you got to work, there's babies, you got to pay for them, you got to change the diapers, you got to pay for the Pampers, pay for the medical bills, you got to run to the doctor in the middle of the night when one of them, you know, starts to get a high fever, you know. And you were so happy living in the Brahmachari ashram. What happened? So anyways, anyway, a little bit of sannyas class there too, along with the politics. What happened? Just a, you know, I just wanted that, and I'm drowning. So this is Lord Vamana's argument. So Bali Maharaj said, all right, I'll give you 3 steps of land, but, you know, we got to do this whole process. You know, when you give someone something in the Vedic system, you actually, you know, you pour water in the pot, you know, pour it on the hands, that signifies you're going to give. You know, there's a whole method of giving someone something. It's not that you just whip out the checkbook and write a check. But Vedically, you know, there's water in everything. There's a system. Of course, I don't mind. They can just whip out the checkbook. I don't need the system. Anyways, because I'm not Vedic. Anyway, so he got out this water pot to signify he was going to give the donation. Shukracharya said, no, he's Vishnu. And Bali Maharaj said, well, you told me to worship Vishnu. What's the problem with you, guy? Guru. Sorry. And he said, well, he's going to take everything away. We want to worship Vishnu to give us stuff. You know, that's one thing. But Vishnu, you know, to take everything away, his name is Hari, which means he steals. You know, cool it. You know, you worship Vishnu when it's good for you. You don't worship him when it's bad for you. Haven't you learned your lesson yet? So, Bali Maharaj said, no, I promised. I have to keep my promise. And Shukracharya was so adamant that when Bali Maharaj got to, you know, try to pour the water that would signify giving the donation, Shukracharya made himself really, really tiny, like he got in the spout of the water pot. He said, I'm not going to even let water come out of here. You know, such a, I don't want to criticize him. Anyway, so whatever he was. And Lord Ramana saw that and he said, look, we don't need to call for Roto-Rooter. You know, I just had to clear out the clog in the drain. He just took a little piece of grass, you know, that was his tool, and he just poked it in there, and poor Shukracharya, he lost an eye. He's blind in one eye. And there's nothing he can do. He can't go to an ophthalmologist about it. So he's blind in one eye, and then he said, ah! And so Bali Maharaj was able to pour at that particular juncture. So, of course, before that, there's another thing I left out. Before that, Shukracharya had more arguments to dissuade Bali Maharaj not to give the charity. He said, look, you promised, but it's all right. You don't have to keep your promise if you cross your fingers. You don't have to keep your promise when you're flattering ladies, joking, marriage, earning money, protecting live cows or brahmanas. And Bali, of course, had said the earth cannot bear the weight of a sinful liar. And Shukracharya cursed him. He said, if you do this, you're going to be bereft of everything. So, anyway, so after Vamana got this offering from Bali Maharaj, Vamana Dev increased in size to the size of the universe. You know, first he put his one step over the whole earth, then he increased in size the whole universe. Everything with it is in his body. And he even kicked a hole in the universe, and that was the Ganges that came in. And Brahma began to worship him. Jambavan, we read about later in Lord Ramchandra's pastimes and also in the pastimes of Krishna, began to circumambulate the whole universe, circumambulate Lord Vamana. And the followers of Bali Maharaj got so angry they tried to kill that dwarf, that creep, you know. And so they went to kill him, but they got killed. And Bali said, you know, enough is enough. You know, leave him alone. He's God. And then finally, because Bali couldn't give a third step, you know, then Vamana had taken up everything, Garuda tied up Bali with the ropes of Varuna. And Lord Vamana said, you're a cheater. You promised me three steps and you couldn't fulfill this. And Bali Maharaj said, yes, there's another place you can put your step, which is on my head. And he liked to get chastised by the Lord and have the Lord's lotus feet on his head. And Pallad Maharaj came at that time to witness the whole thing. And Bali was actually driven down to the Sutila Loka, where he is right now. Bali was blessed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to become Indra in the future. But before that, he would stay in Sutila, where Lord Vamana would guard him to make sure he didn't escape. And the demigods took heaven again, and Vamana was worshipped by Indra, and Lord Vamana actually associates with Indra quite a bit. You read about this in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, that Indra and Vamana, they're together because they're brothers, Bratashri. And Indra is called Jais Bratashri, right? Jais, that means older brother. Okay, so today we're celebrating, we fasted.